like for anyone that is struggling to like, don't underestimate like what can come from your challenges.
Welcome to Ignite the Change podcast, where imperfections are praised, falling over is beautiful, and supporting each other is a must. I'm on a mission to share the stories of young change makers, creating better futures for humanity and our greater ecosystem, but more importantly, themselves. I hope we can together become fearless of change in our personal and professional lives as we show up as a team and practice more of what we love. I'm your host, Hannah, founder of Engage Social Society and student. I am so stoked you are here, because when more of us practice what we love, I know this world will become a better place. Please join me as we listen to the magical souls I have had the pleasure of getting to know, and I hope we can all learn from each other's raw experiences. Together, we can ignite the change. Join me today in having a chat with Cam Greenwood. Cam is the co-founder, alongside his wife Elise, and chief pioneer of Zirali, a business born from the spirit of adventure and a vision to see generations of people find harmony with nature, themselves, and each other. With a big focus on wellness and the environment, Zirali uses the outdoor gear and apparel they create to inspire to break free from the busy world and spend more time enjoying the outdoors. Prior to launching Zirali, Cam was the founder behind the widely popular Monster Surf brand. But after a legal opposition from a multinational corporation, Cam and his wife Elise were inspired to lead the Monster Surf community on a journey towards something new in 2018. Together, Cam and Elise dreamed up Zirali, rallying their community to become a part of the change through an equity crowdfund raise. Zirali soon became the fastest company in Australia to reach their minimum target and just the fifth company to reach their maximum target, raising $300,000 to 550 investors. Since launching, Zirali has quickly gained a strong following within the Australian marketplace with a unique approach to the outdoor landscape, where they see nature not as providing ground to be attacked, but simply as a playground to be enjoyed and protected. Cam's pioneering spirit has attracted an abundance of attention, with the young entrepreneur being featured on various platforms and media outlets such as Channel 9 News, Channel 7's Destination Happiness, The Collective Hub, the cover of Business State magazine, as well as being featured in Smart Company's 2018 Smart 30 Under 30. Cam's ability to challenge his audience to expand their thinking has led him to become one of Australia's most in-demand speakers under the age of 30, speaking across the country in many different forums. Ultimately, Cam's goal is to inspire people to believe that all things are possible when you actively engage in a life that is driven strongly by curiosity rather than fear, as he provides key insights into the path of possibility and success. Thank you so much, Cam, for coming on today. I know personally I've been following your journey for a while now, and moving from Monster to Zirali, your new brand.
Mm-hmm.
First, I wanted to just go back in time, because I don't really know much about where your interest for business sparked. Taking it back a bit, where did that spark begin in your life?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on the podcast, Hannah. My interest in entrepreneurship probably started in my teenage years. My dad ran a business, and I always really enjoyed like watching him operate and navigate through all the challenges. And I think I always grew up with like a really adventurous spirit.
Yeah.
And so when I turned 18 and like finished school, and was kind of thinking about what I wanted to do with my life, that I really found that sense of adventure in the idea of starting my own business. And yeah, that really led to me having this dream to start a surf brand, which was a little bit of an audacious thing to do, because I was growing, like I grew up in the suburbs of Melbourne. So if anyone's listening, knows much about Melbourne, you know it's like it's a bay. There's no waves. So starting a surf brand out of Melbourne, it's not really the best idea. But yeah, I did it. Started just by making boards in my parents' backyard, and then we went into clothing and kicked off from there.
Yeah, cool. So I remember looking back at the Monster stuff, and how did you navigate like all the elements of business? You've got like design to worry about, logistics. Heaps. I think a lot of young people get a bit turned away from business because they feel like they like wouldn't even know where to start. How did you find that?
Google was my friend. I learned a lot in that time. I actually did go to uni for a little bit. My parents wanted me to do something, so I actually enrolled in sports science because I liked sport and I liked helping people, so I thought maybe that would be for me. And then it was in my first year of uni when I started my business, and as that kind of started taking off, I realized I really loved business, so I transferred into a commerce degree. So I did learn quite a bit in my first couple of years of uni. Yeah, I was learning so much just pioneering my own path, and in the day-to-day of that, and got to a point where we were growing pretty fast, so I decided to leave my university degree to pursue things full-time.
Yeah.
And that was probably in like 2014, and yeah, haven't looked back since.
Cool. I feel like it's like people ask me the same question, like how'd you learn to do that? I'm like, I actually can't tell. I couldn't tell you. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
I think it's as well surrounding yourself by people that have similar motives. I noticed when you did that trip over into the Philippines and did that like really inspirational video, you obviously have people around you that have supported you through this. Did you want to talk a little bit more about those people?
Yeah. It's been an amazing part of my journey, the like-minded, like-hearted people I've met along the way. I actually, on that trip, didn't know anyone who came on that trip before I started my business. So I think a lot of the time that can be a bit of a barrier, like, oh, I don't have a network, I don't know these people. But often when you step out and I think like share your dreams with the world and your passion, people have a way of like coming across your path who you need to meet. And that's definitely been my experience. And it was probably after I left uni and was like really diving headfirst into it that I started meeting all these like-minded people, and we made like a little ambassador team, and they kind of really became like a little family, and we'd do all these trips together, which were often to get like content behind our ranges and things like that. But we were just having so much fun as well, and it was often on those trips so we were a surf brand, would often go to these like dreamy surf locations, which are often in developing countries. And we started to see, a bit of a need for just some really simple things that we take for granted here in Australia, like clean water. So we looked into that and started taking water filtration units on our trips, and decided to make a doco. After one of our Philippines trips, which we weren't expecting the response it got, which is amazing. So if anyone wants to watch it, just YouTube, live passionately.
For sure. I'll drop it in the comments and stuff below. But well, like I think through just something like that, like a simple video, I think you managed to inspire so many people, and then partner with that, like the talks that you were doing at high schools was super cool. Mm-hmm. Did you want to tell the audience a little bit like what you did with that and why you started?
So probably around that time I started getting asked to share my story in schools, and it's funny because I grew up hating public speaking. It's like my least favorite.
I thought you were the best public speaker I've ever seen. I'm like, okay, how is he holding me? Seriously.
When I left uni, one of the things, probably the thing I was most pumped about was not that I had like all this new free time to work on the business. It was that I didn't have to do any more speeches.
And then
I started getting asked to talk in schools, and my initial thought was like, no way, like, don't want to do that at all. And then I knew like it was a fear I had that I had to get over. And so push myself to do it. And yeah, now it's something that I love to do, and yeah, been really blessed to share my story all across Australia in lots of different schools, including yours when you were at school, which is cool.
So funny.
And yeah, it's been a fun part of my journey for sure.
Yeah. We'll get more into like Zerali now. So how do you that world and like entrepreneurship, the scariest thing for people to do is pivot, and especially in the multitude of, I guess, yeah, how much you guys did pivot your brand. How was that for you? Like, was that a really scary experience? Like, I remember looking and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're doing this. I'm so excited for them. But still, like, it must have been so scary for you.
Yeah, for sure. It was a super scary time. So we had a legal challenge from a big company in America who didn't like us using the word monster.
Yeah.
Sure, everyone can probably guess who it was.
Yeah.
And it kind of coincided with time in my life where I met my now wife, Elise, and she was a designer at a big surf brand. And I was just chatting about the challenges we were facing, and I was going to have to pivot and essentially start over. So that was back in like late 2017 that we met, and we started planning out our dreams for Zerali. So we basically wanted to, one of the things that always annoyed me about Monster was people would say, oh, I love your brand, but I don't surf. And I was like, it doesn't matter. It's about getting outside and being in nature. It's not just about surfing. So it kind of presented us an opportunity to realign like who we were as a brand and what we were passionate about and the message that we wanted to spread. So and that was like an overflow of our love for nature and spending time with each other, just exploring the coast or hiking the mountains. And so we started planning that out, and then Elise left her job just before we got married in, it was like September 2018, I think.
Yeah.
And then, that was when it kind of all became super real. We're like, all right, we're going to make this happen.
Yeah.
And then literally this time last year, all our fans and customers of Monster had no idea what was coming next. We kind of started hinting at it. And then I think in, at the very end of June, we dropped this video, which showed everyone the journey that we'd been on up to that point and the challenge that we faced. It was like a really funny video.
I feel like a lot of people would just be like, oh, guys, we're just having a switch around. You guys are like, this is what's happened, and we're just going to face head on. So it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
How long does something like that take to do a massive rebrand like that? How long did it take you guys?
Honestly, it was probably like a 2-year journey from like initial chats to getting it out there, even longer, with 2.5 years. Which like I didn't think it would take that long, but there was just so much to work through, and the timelines of like winding Monster down and launching Zerali and the logistical side of it. Yes, it was a massive, massive project. And now that we're on the other side of it, it's amazing to look back and see how far we've come.
Yeah, cool. I noticed you guys are trying your best to like contribute to the environment and like picking up on sustainability issues and things like that. So what are you guys doing to make that change?
So as a brand that's like deeply passionate about the natural world, we believe it's really our responsibility to design and operate our business through a lens of sustainability. So for us, there's like really 4 parts to that. It's like the materials that we choose to work with. So we use a lot of organic or recycled materials.
Yeah.
Making sure our suppliers and facilities are run responsibly. Mm-hmm. Then we also got like sustainability partnerships. So for example, through our partners Eden Projects, we every purchase of a Zerali product directly plants 10 trees in areas of severe deforestation. And all trees are planted by local workers to also provide employment, which we love.
So,
and yeah, we're also like members of 1% for the Planet, and we're also a climate neutral business, so we offset all our carbon use. And then the fourth step for us is really having like a responsible roadmap and outlook on the future for where we want to go. So like we've got we've got a pretty big goal to plant 1 million trees by 2025.
It's so amazing, and I feel like there's so many the society that we're moving towards or we're already a part of is like very much focused around doing good within your business, and it's now actually a really cool selling point as well. From like a marketing perspective, I noticed you guys are very much built around like a community model. So you're like, there's quite a strong community around Zerali and stuff. What made you guys make that decision to go with that type of model, or did it just come naturally?
We like deeply believe in the power of community and in like doing things together with like minded people. So from the start, we really wanted to build a strong community behind Zerali, and we've been able to do that through things like meetups before COVID kind of hit and other things. We also to launch Zerali, we did an equity crowdfund campaign where we invited literally anyone who wanted to be a part of it to invest in the brand from as little as $100, and we ended up raising $300,000 to over 550 investors. So we do have like a very large community directly behind it, which was an awesome thing to be able to launch the brand with that much support, not just financially, but like they were invested like emotionally and like wanting to see it do well and telling their friends. And I think in the business world, every 10 years has like a bit of a theme, and I think these next 10 years are going to be like the businesses that really deeply care and are involved in their community are the ones that are gonna build something special. And it's a massive focus for us.
Yeah, and just show up, and especially to your investors, like how do you go about like keep, obviously there's so many, like it's not like you gotta keep in touch with just a few, so how do you go about like communicating with them? Like I feel like
that's really tough. We send out like a monthly email to our investors, which is just like us checking in with a bit of like what we've been working on, our progress, how we're tracking, things coming up, and like ways they might be able to get involved or connect with us more. And yeah, it's been a really good way because it is hard. There's so many people. It's hard to get to know everyone on a personal. Level. There's people in that group who there's like different ways people want to be involved. People who are just purely involved from like wanting to see a financial return one day, then there's other people who want to be more involved in the brand and might have like more regular contact with us and are super engaged with everything. And then, so it's good being able to learn where everyone's at and being able to tailor what they're wanting from us. And
From like a lifestyle perspective, like how, because you mentioned that you and Elise do like so much stuff like in your office, how do you even like cope with that? Seriously, like have you got any things in your head that like allow you to cope with that?
Yeah It was funny when Elise left her job. She left her job, like it was the Friday, then on the Saturday we were at like a business event together, and someone was talking and they were like, pretty much said, I don't know how anyone works with their like husband or wife, and it's like the worst idea ever. And we just like looked at each other and like high fived because we were like, yeah, we're gonna do it. But we love it. We like, I think it's special for us being able to like wake up every day and work on something that we're deeply passionate about. And it's definitely things that we've had to learn to like try to separate as much as possible work and life, especially because we work from home currently. We've like put out, we've got our little workspace here, which is upstairs, and most of our like living is downstairs, which definitely helps. But yeah, it's, I definitely feel like I've got a lot of improving to do in that area. Like it's, when you run a business, it's sometimes hard to switch off. And
Going out in nature and stuff helps.
Definitely. That definitely, I think having Zorali really help, like it keeps us accountable to how much we're
I look at the intern like, wow, they're so inspirational. They're always getting out in nature and things like that. It's good that it aligns with your business because it kind of makes you do it at the same time.
Yeah, I know. If we're just like sitting at home all the time and not getting outside, it's a bit contradictory to like
what we
say as a brand.
I guess young people out there, so you started being like interested in entrepreneurship and stuff when you were in high school. Like, are for people that feel like they have no direction at all, or they don't have that parental advice that they've been involved in business and stuff before, what would you recommend to them to start their journey? Like, whether it's like content, like listening to podcasts or watching things that might help inspire them, or do you have any recommendations around that?
Yeah, great question. I think it's definitely great to like consume some of the good content that's out there, like your podcast, and hearing other people's stories and like seeing what kind of connects with you and excites you. And I think like to, for anyone that's kind of lacking a bit of direction, to really maybe go out in nature, take a bit of a walk and reflect on like what you are passionate about. Or, you know, sometimes I hear young people say, oh, I'm not passionate about anything, but I think that's a lie. Like, there's got to be something that excites you more than other areas of life, and like to look at those things and to not underestimate why they're there, why they interest you, why they excite you, and to not be afraid to follow your curiosity with those things and to see where it leads. Like that's what I did, and I would have had no idea all that was like all that was ahead of me when I decided to just start making my own surfboards in my backyard. Like there wasn't a big vision to it. I didn't really plan to be where we are today, but
went with what you were interested in and then kept stumbling across.
Yeah.
And I think as well, meeting people along the way is like what really lifts you, and getting involved in like the community environment that you need to be in to be able to thrive. And as you mentioned before, I hear so many young people say the same thing about passion and drive. It's almost like we've been put into this societal structure that makes us think that, you know, it's just going to appear one day, a passion's going to appear one day, but it's more or less like trying new things and seeing what lights you up and stuff like that. It's quite a hard thing, I think, though. It's really challenging to tell somebody that. But anyway, I think that's all I wanted to cover for today, but I'm really, really grateful that you've come onto the podcast and hopefully inspired some young people who are really struggling, I guess, to find something that inspires them, or just hearing from your journey of how you've pivoted, even though it was quite a big change, you've managed to get through it. So thank you so much. And if you had any final closing notes, and anyone who wants to follow their journey on Zorali, I'll put the Instagram link below.
Yeah, thanks, Anna. Yeah, I think what you just said is awesome. And like for anyone that is struggling to like not, don't underestimate like what can come from your challenges. Because when I was in our legal challenges like 2-3 years ago, if you were to like tell me or show me where we are today and like truly on the other side of it, I probably would have struggled to see it a little bit. And like looking back, I'm actually grateful for that challenge, because did allow us to like prove it, and it allowed Elise and I to work on something together. And I think sometimes life throws you those challenges for a reason, and they definitely grow you and make you stronger and sometimes push you, yeah, in the right direction. So keep moving forward and pushing through those challenges.
What an incredible chat with Cam. It was so fun finding out where his passions stem from and how he has overcome the intense challenges the business world has thrown at him over the past few years. I'll leave Cam's social media profile below alongside Zerali's so you can continue to follow his inspiring journey. Don't forget, if you enjoyed the podcast, please upload a screenshot of this episode to your Instagram story and make sure to tag us.